Today on Real Life Radio.
God has been reaching and crying and calling out to you, sometimes with thoughts and sometimes with situations, sometimes with little, almost like lightning bolts of revelation. Thought will enter your mind or a feeling will come over you. It's like, wow, what if? He's been reaching and reaching.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack in a message called Only God Can Save You Now. Part 3b continues in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, with verses 5 through 11. In just these few verses of Scripture comes the revelation of not only who Jesus Christ is, but also his power to redeem. In every situation of life, God is the only one who can get us through. He is the cure for every sickness and every spiritual challenge. He is the Almighty and therefore has all the power to help us in our trials. He is all that we need. Only God can save us, and only God can rescue us from sin. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that there is power, hope, shelter, freedom, and healing in the name of Jesus. He is the way, he is the truth, and the life. And forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life are found only in him. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom, notice, how did God create everything? Through whom also he made the worlds. That's an amazing statement right there. See the word worlds, plural? That is all the stars and clusters of stars, universes, clusters of universes. Worlds that telescopes have yet to see. Verse 3. Who, that's Jesus, being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person. That is awesome. Look at verse 10 now. Only God can save you now, and he saves absolutely by becoming your Lord, absolutely reasonable to the honest heart. Let's be honest. It says in verse 10 that at the name of, what's that name? Oh, come on, say it like you mean it. At that name, Jesus! Jesus. We know that the power of the gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ as resurrected from the dead separates him from all others, among many things. Verse 10 says that at the name of Jesus, number one, mark it, every knee should bow. Put a number one in front of the word every. We're going to kind of break this up a little bit. That at the name of Jesus, number one, every knee should bow. But circle the word should. It sounds like a suggestion. Every knee should bow. No, that's not what it means. Watch this. Clarification here. The word is actually a predictive, prophetic utterance by the Apostle Paul. Listen, at the name of Jesus, every knee should, not suggestion, prophetic utterance. Every knee is going to bow. Every knee. And listen, this is awesome. I love this. It means this, not forced. No knee will ever bow before Jesus, forced. No knee will ever be compelled to bow. This is important. The word means no knee will ever be coerced to bow. It means that every knee will willingly, listen, based on honesty, based on truth, based on reality, they will truthfully articulate that he is Lord, that it's Jesus. Every one of us in this room, every one of us listening right now will bow the knee. And listen, you will bow the knee in full-blown reality and agreement. You will not bow the knee like, oh man, I don't want to do this. Listen, there's going to be a day in eternity that all of us will bow the knee. And when that day happens, there's going to be two camps. Those who bow the knee saying, hoo-hoo, yeah! Because, you know, their lives were lived with their knee bowed, as it were, right? And then there's going to be a group that are going to mean it just as much as we do, but too late. We'll never know unless we view that moment. Don't know if we will, but could you imagine? Can you speculate for a moment what that would be? Would it be something like, "He is the Lord," or "Why didn't I see that he was the Lord?" or "Why didn't I listen?" Wow. Every knee will bow at the name of Jesus. Number two, put a number two right before of those in heaven. Put a number two right in front of that. Of those in heaven, who's that? The angels and the redeemed. The angels and the redeemed are in heaven. And here's the third, of those on earth. What does that mean? That's a reference to his second coming, when he comes. When Christ comes to establish his kingdom, read Matthew, that's your homework today, read Matthew chapter 25. When Jesus separates the nations as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, his lordship will be acknowledged. And number four, those under the earth. That's creepy. Those under the earth, it's who I mentioned earlier, fallen angels, demonic powers, entities, and those that are in hell. They will all agree. We will all agree. Everyone will agree on that fact. Jesus Christ is Lord. Man, could you imagine right now if we could just, you know, be lowered down in a flame suit into hell with a microphone and say, hey, Adolf, Hitler, can you give us a little insight on theology? You know, his comment would be the same as Osama bin Laden's. Did you know their testimony would be the same as, you fill in the blank. The testimony would be this: Jesus Christ is Lord. Sometimes I do funerals of non-believers. You know, it's great to do a funeral for a believer. In fact, when you do you don't do a funeral for a believer. I refuse to do funerals for believers. I do graduation services for believers. But when you do a funeral for a non-believer, an unbeliever, that's tough stuff. Because you know what? Let's be honest. For our own human comfort, we say things like, even though the guy was a womanizing, bank robbing, drug addict, mother shooting, fill in the blank. You've been to those funerals, haven't you? And somebody says, you know, at least he's in a better place now. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever been there? I've been there. It's like, what? Said, what do you say at a funeral like that? There's only one thing you can. Well, first of all, you get the gospel. And then this is the punchline. Now, don't be offended at this. I'm just going to pull a name right out of the hat, okay? If Billy Bob were here today, he would say this: love Jesus with all your heart. Is that not true? Isn't it the same utterance of those in heaven and in hell? Isn't it true? Love Jesus with all your heart. It's just that there was a whole group too late. God has been reaching. Maybe you're here today. God has been reaching and crying and calling out to you, sometimes with thoughts and sometimes with situations, sometimes with little, almost like lightning bolts of revelation. Thought will enter your mind or a feeling will come over you. It's like, wow, what if? He's been reaching and reaching. And there'll be issues or what we would call accidents and tragedy. And yet, though may God didn't cause them, he'll use them. And you'll have a thought. And what do you do with that thought? He's been reaching. Those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth. Listen carefully to what that prophetic statement here in Philippians means. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation 5:11. Revelation 5. This is another great verse for people. In fact, if you're going to be going to a graduation service of a Christian. By the way, do you have anybody in here have believing family members or friends in heaven? Raise your hands. Born again. Wow. Man, that's a lot of you. That's awesome. Heaven's a lot more crowded than I thought it was going to be. You ever wonder what they're looking at? You ever, what are they doing right now? They're having an amazing time right now. Has someone died in your life? trusting in the Lord Jesus. You say, well, Pastor, my, I had a miscarriage. Oh, that's okay. Listen, take comfort in this. You're gonna meet that baby again. Don't ask me how old the baby's going to be. A lot of people believe the baby will be 33 years old. They have arguments because of Jesus. They say, I don't know. But I know there's not a miscarried baby walking around down up there. How's that going to work? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say, but this I know. You're going to meet that child. We just had somebody in this church. At 1 year of age, their baby died at 1 year of age. And I think it was the very week or 2 weeks within that time, they gave birth to the second baby. There's a lot of mourning and there's a lot of joy all mixed together. Listen, thank God in the end, he's going to unpack it. And it will be good in the end. But if you know somebody who's in heaven, sometimes our imagination wants to ask the question, what are they seeing? What are they listening to? I always go to see what my mom and dad and what my sister's peeking at. I always go to Revelation 5. It's awesome. And so should you. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. Listen how it dovetails into Philippians 2. John says, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels. Stop right there. Do you know what many angels look like? I don't, but my mom does. My dad does. Your baby does. How cool is that? You think it's impressive, church family? Do you think it's amazing? John says, I saw many angels. How many is many? Too many to count. Listen. I heard many angels around the throne. The four living creatures, or the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands. That is a very sweet old English way of trying to say what it says in the Greek. The word means an innumerable and unable. You cannot count the number of what I'm looking at. Impossible to count. Listen, if you have to close your eyes for a second, do it. Think of God in the middle, and emanating out from God, out from the throne, is a mass of angelic and human people redeemed. John says it is impossible to count them. It'll take you eternity to count them all. You know what I love about that? That Jesus' death on the cross was not in vain. That is his reward. That's his reward. Are you glad for him? I'm happy for him. All he went through, that in eternity, there's going to be so many that he has redeemed that you can't even count them. That's comforting to me. Verse 12, Revelation 5, saying with a loud voice, this is what they say, with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Verse 13. By the way, you're going to say this someday. You're going to say it. You say, I don't really feel like it. You'll feel like it then. Verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, there's Philippians, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Somebody say amen. That is awesome, awesome news. And you, listen, I want all of you to pay close attention to what I just read. I don't want anybody from Calvary Chapel to be up in heaven going, what are we saying? Wait, can you tell me, what are we supposed to say? I want you guys to not look like a bunch of bumpkins up there. I want you to know what's happening. I want the angels to go, listen to that group over there. They're from Calvary. They got it down. Honor and glory and power. And you let it rip that day. Don't be like now. Just, I love you, Lord. I see your face. Let it rip. You know? This power is going to be, and this echo is going to be across eternity. There's power in the name of Jesus. I know that's the name of a song, but listen, there's power in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in Revelation 22:13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. You don't get more powerful than that. That's it. There is hope in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in Revelation 1:17, listen carefully. "And when I saw him," said John, "I fell at his feet as dead. I passed out. I freaked out. But he laid his right hand on me, and he said to me, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death.'" Wow. The first and the last, church, is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And the Bible says he died and came back to life. Revelation 2:8 says these things, says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. That's your Jesus. Anybody come peddling another Jesus on your doorstep? People knocking on your door. Nice, sweet people. They do not have the eternal God who came and died and lives again. They don't have them. There is shelter in the name of Jesus. Proverbs 18:10, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are" what? "They're safe." There is freedom in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:17, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." There is healing in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in Acts 3:16, "His name and through faith in his name has made this man whole, whom you see and know." Yes, the faith which comes through Christ has given him, this man that was healed, this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. There is life in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." There is protection in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:4, "Trust in the Lord forever, for Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength." Isn't that great? There is forgiveness in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in Acts 13:38, "Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things," wow, "from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." There is meaning or reason in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in Luke 10:17, "Then the 70 disciples," not the 12, but the 12 plus the others. Now the Bible says there are 70 disciples, "returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.' And Jesus said to them, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven.'" Don't you love that? Listen, just side note. When you serve God, and it's your decision when you leave here today. When you go serve the Lord, I believe that demonic powers suffer greatly when you serve God. You want to put a dent in Satan's door? You want to get your fingernails on a chalkboard and drag it across there for him? You want to catch his tail on a door and slam it? Huh? Want to break off one of his fangs? Go do something in the name of Jesus. You know, listen, on your way out of here today, go find somebody, hunt him down. You see somebody on the side of the freeway, you know, with their bucket or whatever it is? Pull over and say, "See this? See this $5 bill? Says, 'In God we trust.' Listen, I'm going to give you this $5 bill, but here's the deal. You need to trust Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for your sins. He can change your life. And just a little hint here, brother, for you to hang on to. The Bible says that all those who trust in the Lord shall never be seen begging bread. God can change your life. Have a nice day." That takes 35 seconds, and away you go. And you'll see Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Jesus goes on to say in Luke 19, chapter 10, verse 19, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Go serve him. You're invincible until God calls you home. Matthew chapter 28, 18. This is still under the meaning of the name of Jesus, the purpose. There is meaning in all that. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, and he says it to us today, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, to the end of the age. And then, listen, there is salvation in the name of Jesus. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, repent, metanoia, change the course you're on. Turn around, change your mind, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then finally, there is life in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in 1 John 5:11, and this is the testimony that God has given us, listen, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Verse 12, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Verse 13, these things I have written to you who believe, that is trust, in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Pause at that comma right now. Friends, listen. This verse means that all those who are Christians and are heaven bound know it. We don't know much in this world, but we know this. He's faithful to keep his word, and as buffoons that we are, in practice and in deed, and even in motive, we love him. And he will do this. And every believer knows this. If you do not know this today, you need to search your heart and ask and find out why. Why is it that you're insecure or you don't know that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? The Bible says you are to know now. If you don't know this now, you're in peril. And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Verse 20, skip to verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true. Well, who's that? In his Son, Jesus Christ. What effect? Why? This is the true God and eternal life. Church, listen. This is it. Only God can save you now. Only God can save you from your rebellion against God. It's true. We're rebels, the Bible says. Only God can save you now from self-appointed authority. You'll call the shots in your own life. Only God can save you and I now from spiritual and judgmental attitudes about other people. Only God can save us now about our independence from God. I don't need God, people say. No. You not only need God, you have no life without him.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Only God Can Save You Now. Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you put your trust in the Lord, for those who have Christ have life. We'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, with Father's Day just around the corner, we have the perfect gift idea. Pastor Jack's book of the month for June, it's called Disciplines of a Godly Man by R. Kent Hughes. This timeless book's been speaking to the hearts of men for the past 10 years with engaging illustrations, scriptural wisdom, practical suggestions, and even study questions. Disciplines of a Godly Man is called an inspiring guide for men who want to reflect God's glory in their lives through their family, godliness, leadership, ministry, and so much more.
We've got to get back to disciplines. That's what's going to keep us stable for what's next. There's going to be something next. And we want to make sure that our feet are grounded, that we're standing on a good foundation, and that we've got some good disciplines in place to take on the next storm.
This newly revised edition is for every man who wants to know what it means to be a Christian in today's world. Disciplines of a Godly Man. It's available right now when you give a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.